A weak solidarity bricky team listener when former big supremo Scuttlebin Morlash son, a.k.a. Scummo's. Doesn't that sound good? Former big supremo. Scummo's laying a little kid low with a rugby tackle while playing soccer turned out to be a harbinger of what the electorate had in store for him, Scummo, a stretcher job. As we concluded last week, our only enjoyment on election night is watching the losers lose. And this one was just so special, wasn't it? Saturday night just so enjoyable as our deepest hopes. It'd be lovely, we thought, but it's wishful thinking to think they'll all go. But no, our deepest wishes granted. Down they went, soon to be not much more than the answer to the odd trivia question. The result either confirms or refutes the power of prayer, because we can assume Scummo was praying fervently to the dear baby Jesus to let him win. Increasingly fervently, we'd assume, as the execution drew closer. Yet next day, there he was in his God Loves You If You're Rich church, praying and shedding tears. The dear baby had failed him. But it's certain that many, many, many more people were praying that he wouldn't win, and so it leaves the answer to the power of prayer up in the air, so to speak. Only disappointment on election night, and I still recall with glee election night 1983 when the defeated Malcolm wage freezer burst into tears, and I was hoping. That bit was disappointing, but a tear in church and lost the false bravado of the night before. Of course, in a world of Tweedledee, Tweedledum politics, the converse of that enjoyment is the disappointment of watching the non-losers non-lose, with the small, oh so small, consolation that the Socialist Party is not quite as bad as the coalition. And thus we now live in a socialist utopia. Although already new big economic guru Jim Chalmers Capital has warned the budget bottom line is worse than they thought, and therefore, oh yes, we've heard it all before. Which bit of that do we find surprising? Meanwhile, overwhelmingly voted for climate change, if there is such a thing, by jetting off to Japan, where he cozied up to the US of the UN of the US of the world big supremo Joe Biden Capital, who had just everyone pissing themselves laughing as he cracked the funniest of jokes about Anthony being tired and okay if he went to sleep. And I'm sure we all thought, if Joe has ambitions to be a stand-up comedian, he should stick to his day job. But then on the other hand, cracking jokes that are as flat as a tack could be better for the world, so it's a tough choice. While back here, the socialist climate change minister-elect Chris Bowen to Capital acknowledged the massive vote calling for huge cuts in pollution by announcing the socialists would not commit to huge cuts in pollution, not budge from their commitment to 43% reduction by 2030, not support a more aggressive decarbonisation pathway that would derail new mega fossil fuel investments such as Woodside's with profits $16.5 billion Scarborough gas project off Western True Blue Aussie, which should make a major contribution in hopes of slashing pollution. Ah, there's a promising start. It took one day for the cracks to open, with the True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review pouring pure logic into the cracks by editorially advising Chris Bowen to Capital, he is right. Well, we know that. Oh, no, sorry, he is right to push back against the Greens and Teal demands, because the coalition lot got 67% of the vote between them. See, logic run riot. Just a small problem. One, the coalition, in case the Capitalist Review editorial room just happened to miss it, just happened to lose the election. And two, the Green and Teal members demanding to go significantly further got more votes than the coalition at the World Gas Conference, I suspect a perfect title for that lot, gas conference in South Korea, that in the current economic climate, customer demand for low carbon goes out the window. We must emit heaps. And if we look out the window, we'll see the economic climate that doesn't matter. While Megan Western True Blue Aussie Supremo Mark McGowan Carbon said there was no threat post-election to the Scarborough project. And Mark displayed his environmental credentials by telling us, I support further action on climate, But cancelling this $16.5 billion project is not an option. What's more, he said, if Tubular was he doesn't supply countries with gas, then they'll use coal. So a massive fossil project is saving the environment from fossils. Our new minister for going overseas all the time and being a perfectly good little prefect, Penny Left Wing, headed off to Fiji after flying off to Japan and back, doing her bit for the environment, and told them Tubular was he would be a leader on climate change. And these ingrates responded that Tubular was he would not be a leader on climate change if it stuck to its election commitments, which were exposed during the election as failing to go near the Paris 1.5 degree commitment, a point the ingrates thanklessly pointed out. Got a feeling if Chris and the government don't lift their ambition, they could learn to hate the Senate as much as former big supremo and world's greatest worst ex-treasurer Paul's swill. Speaking of capital, great news for investors in childcare and aged care behemoths, with the new government promising to hand them trillions. Monday, their shares shot through the roof, showing their great belief in laissez-faire greenfield of world's best practice. For these capitalists, it really is a socialist government. And the great practitioners of the greatest little economic order of them all wasted no time advising the government that it must return to the great days of the aforementioned Paul and nuclear hawk governments. Great economic reforms like wage freezes and evil unions strapped into a straitjacket. Are the greatest threat to all of us, as by Monday our old mate Innes Will Cost, the workers of the Tubular Wazzy Industry Profits Group, told us, pointing out the caring business class was under pressure from evil unions pushing wage rises at an unsustainable level, including the ACTU's outlandish claim for a 5.5% minimum wage rise should rise in line with other prices in the caring business class economy. Thank goodness we've got wise practitioners like Innes to alert us to these dangers. And Tubular Wazzy's richest person, Gina Hardhart, displayed her patriotic concern for our security by demanding the government deploy drones and sea mines in Tubular Wazzy's northwest, and a $4.3 billion dry dock, and showing her foresight and concern, Gina knows exactly where to build it. It's pure coincidence. We can be sure Gina wouldn't even have realised that the ideal spot she has discovered just happens to be exactly from where her empire exports its iron ore. Pure coincidence. With Innes and Gina advising the government, we're in good hands. One genuine positive, so now, and I'm being totally serious for once, is that the incoming Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus, has promised to review the long-running case against former ACT Attorney General Bernard Collery over former Minister for going overseas all the time and being a perfect little prefect, Alexander's illegal bugging Timor-Leste on behalf of the aforementioned Woodside with Profits, investigating why evidence must be held in secret and whether he can withdraw the prosecution altogether. I am yet to hear a cogent explanation of how the public interest is served by the ongoing attempts to prosecute Mr. Collery, he said. See, that's a positive. Oh, and the Bilalilo family, that too is a positive. As the ever-popular scummo goes down the gurgler here, over in Her Most Gracious Majesty's home country, they planned a statue of former big supremo Maggie Thatchedhair for Westminster, but abandoned plans over fears of a motivated far-left movement who may be committed to public activism. Maybe. Anyway, they plan to spend another $100,000 on an unveiling ceremony in Grantham, near where her family had their grocery store. But oh dear, Maggie, no, let's show respect and give her proper title. Baroness Thatchedhair was so popular, a group proposing an egg-throwing contest attracted support from thousands. Poor Maggie, or poor Baroness. So they quietly erected it in Grantham without ceremony, and it took about 2.5 minutes, give or take, for the first egg to liven up the day for the pigeons. Worse, the egg-throwing far-left thousands are calling for it to be pulled down. Oh dear, if only Maggie also around, because in her day this wouldn't have happened. The poor couldn't afford an egg. The current encumbered Borus Johnson the Grog, photographed toasting with a glass of the demon drink in his hand, surrounded by copious bottles of alcohol, said he had no idea he was at a party. But he promised that whatever he didn't think he was at would not happen again. We've changed the law, so it is now quite okay to have orgies at Downing Street. As Constable Peter Duffer is, like you know, about to become caring business class party supremo and would-be big supremo, what a warm, caring person Pete is, asks, but why did he walk out on the stolen children apology? Why did he make a very funny joke about Pacific Islands sinking under the weight of climate change, which Pete knows doesn't exist? Such side-splitting humour, he makes Joe Biden Capital look genuinely funny. Less a warm, caring person, and... Well, yeah, probably not, but it doesn't make him any more a warm, caring person either. And anyway, I'm not sure we could stomach the sight and sound of Constable Duffer trying to look and sound human. Thus, finally, let's hope the Hayseed and Sheepshit Party doesn't do anything irresponsible like dump Barnacle as leader. Let's hope the chance that the coalition Constable Peter Duffer is caring business class party supremo and would-be big supremo, Duffer and Barnacle as their new supremos and would-be big supremo to win back the electorate with their charm, wit and progressive policies, comes to pass. Let's hope. Constable Duffer and Barnacle, a satirist's dream. Good morning.